Republican John Bumstead, thank you for joining us. How are you today?
Very good. Yourself?
Doing fantastic. Let's get started. Fixing the roads, that's been a big campaign issue for both parties. What is the best approach, and how do you finance road and bridge repairs?
You know, we passed that road package, what was it, 3 years ago? And it's finally going to be fully implemented in the next couple of years. And really what we got, it's not so much the money issue now. The issue we have now is we're so far behind on the road, the infrastructure, the time to fix them. You know, I can take the last month alone. We've had about 8 rain days, and that just puts us that farther behind. So we're playing catch up all the time. And in Michigan, where you have basically 6 months to work on the roads, then you throw in the rain days, it's a narrow window of time to fix the roads. There's the money's there. The counties are getting more money, and that's helping them as well. But it's just we need more time. It's going to take us a while to catch up, but the money will be there.
There's been a lot of talk during this campaign season about eliminating no-fault auto insurance. What makes this a good idea or a bad idea?
Well, number one, and I tell people this too, I sit down, and this is probably one of the top two issues. And I said, it's going to take a governor, a Senate majority leader, and the Speaker of the House. This has to be their top priority if we're going to get anything done. It can't be one branch or the House fighting the Senate, Senate fighting the House, and the governor's not willing to look at it. It's going to put us all behind. So it's got to be their top priority. Otherwise, it's not going to go anywhere. But we got to look at all the different options we have out there. It might be fixing fraud, looking at different options as far as cost of health care for the auto. There's a lot of things we can do, but it's really going to have to take the leadership at the top to agree this has to be our top issue. Like when we went in 2010, it was unemployment, you know, 15%, and now it's 4%. The auto insurance has to be a top priority. There is some fixes.
In 2011, the Michigan legislature passed a law taxing pensions. What are the reasons for either repealing it or keeping it in place?
I think the best thing to do, once we need to look at our long-term debt. Right now, we're on a pretty good path to the state being out of debt. Let's finish paying off our debt, but then let's look at a repeal for everybody, not just a certain few, but let's lower that rate for every hardworking Michigander out there.
Sticking with taxes, the state income tax amounted to $9.4 billion in fiscal year 2016 and accounted for about 67% of general fund revenue and 22% of school aid revenue. There are lawmakers who want to reduce the income tax or eliminate it altogether. Where do you stand on this issue? If you roll it back or eliminate it, where does the state make up for the dollars lost?
Well, eliminating it, it sounds good, you know, on your campaign list, but you know that's basically a large chunk of our budget. A good economy, a strong, healthy economy, like when we eliminated that double business tax, it brought businesses back. So a strong economy will offset that if we lower it a little bit. You know, if we reduce back to the Graham-Holm days, what was it, 3.9% back then? I think there's some wiggle room there. At least that'd be a good start. If we have a strong economy, we'll have those extra dollars to do that.
In 2013, the state legislature approved Medicaid expansion through the Healthy Michigan Plan, providing health care coverage to 680,000 Michiganders who had been going without. In June, Governor Rick Snyder signed a bill requiring Medicaid recipients who receive health insurance through the Healthy Michigan Plan be required to work at least 80 hours per month. Is this the right path forward? Is this the chipping away of the Affordable Care Act? Where do you stand on government involvement and health care?
Government involvement with health care, I've always been a firm believer, number one, if it's a mandate from the federal government, you know, if it's federally funded is one thing, but if it's one of those deals where they federally fund it for X amount of years, then they're going to reduce the percentage of the funding. I have a problem with any of those because usually what happens after 10 years, all of a sudden Michigan's stuck with the tap. And we don't have that kind of money to pay for it. So I'm opposed to federal mandates like that, that mandates it to the states, then they pull their funding. So I've always been very leery of that. And the work requirement, I'm fine with, you know, unemployment at 3.8 or 9%. If somebody's able-bodied, they should be out in the workforce and working.
U.S. News ranked Michigan's education system 36th in the nation. What education policies must be implemented, and what funding levels are necessary to improve the state's educational outcomes?
I think over the years, what's happened in Lansing, I think a lot of it has to do with term limits, but I like a lot of more local control. bringing a lot of the decision-making back to the school board, superintendents, and principals and parents, because, you know, what we do in Detroit compared to Grand Rapids or Muskegon or up in Marquette, we might have different options available out there where it doesn't cost extra dollars, but it gives them the flexibility to teach kids how it'll fit their district. And I think we got to look at more local control instead of mandates from the state and federal government. You know, here's some dollars, but you got to jump through these hoops to get there. And I think it frustrates a lot of school boards having to do that. So if you leave it back more to the locals, you really need the most important person you can elect to office will be your school boards. Make sure you elect very qualified people.
What is the state's role when it comes to addressing groundwater contamination?
I think it's a huge, you know, we sit on 20% of the world's fresh water. I think over the years we've done a good job as much as we could when these brownfields come up, try to go in and clean them up. If we can go back on the companies that did the pollution, instead of suing them, maybe we work together and clean up these areas if it's possible. But, you know, some of these contamination sites are 30, 40, 56 years old. You know, nobody knows who owns the property or who isn't. That's going to be a problem. But as far as the state is concerned, I think any time that we have the ability to go in and clean up a problem like that, we need to find the funds to do that. It's important we keep our fresh waters clean. It's going to benefit all of our kids and grandkids for generations to come. We just can't keep, you know, back in the old days, you just threw it out the back door, out of sight, out of mind. You know, that we can't think. We have to educate ourselves more on what these chemicals are and the pollutants. We have to work together on that's not a Republican or Democrat issue. That's just a common sense issue.
If elected to the Michigan Senate and the GOP is in the majority, how will you work with Democrats?
I think you have to kind of run back to your own district. You have to work for your constituents in, it might be Oceanawaga or Muskegon County. I might have issues in Muskegon County where I am working with a county board, which is Democratic, or a state rep that could be Democratic. But to work for your district and bring things home to district and work with issues, you have to work across the aisle. We have to work together on the local issues. It's very important.
Republican John Bumstead, thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, thank you very much. Have a great day.
Joining us now is Democrat Poppy Cias-Hernandez. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. Thank you for asking.
All right. Well, let's begin with the Q&A. Fixing the roads has been a campaign issue. What is the best approach, and how do you finance road and bridge repairs?
I think financing infrastructure like road and bridge repairs is not something that should be an afterthought or a set-aside. I think it needs to be built into our system, our taxation system, because that's what we have control over as legislators. So I do think the primary source of revenue needs to be taxes. I don't think it necessarily means that we need to raise taxes for all Michigan citizens. I think we need to tax large corporations more responsibly, especially the ones who use our roads and bridges for their commerce. So I just feel like when I first got into this process, I heard that a lot. You know, what about the roads and the infrastructure? And it was sort of talked about like it was a new issue, and it's not a new issue. It's been an issue since we've had roads and infrastructure. And so what is different is how we're taking care of them. And so we need to build that in and have it be a sustainable approach. So it definitely comes down to more responsible taxation, but it also comes down to innovation in terms of how we're doing it so that the work that we do lasts longer and is better for our, you know, our natural resources.
Another campaign pitch, perhaps more so made by Republicans than Democrats, is the elimination of no-fault auto insurance. What makes this a good idea or a bad idea?
I don't think we should be looking at eliminating no-fault insurance, because there are some benefits to having no-fault insurance that are pretty, there are a lot of benefits to having it. I do think we need to look at being creative about how we fund it, and I don't think it's something that every single person should be paying that surcharge or that extra fee. So I think there are creative ways we can address it. People that have full coverage, people that are on Medicare, things like that. I also think that we can bring the cost down by not including non-driving factors in the rates for our insurance.
In 2011, the Michigan legislature passed a law taxing pensions. What are the reasons for either repealing it or keeping it in place?
There are no reasons for keeping taxing pensions in place. We should not be taxing pensions. These are people that have worked their whole lives and earned a pension and have paid their taxes, and we shouldn't be double dipping into those systems. So there is no reason to continue taxing pensions. The reasons why we shouldn't be taxing pensions is because we're sending a message to people that a promise made doesn't have to be a promise kept.
Sticking with taxes, The state income tax amounted to $9.4 billion in fiscal year 2016 and accounted for about 67% of general fund revenue and 22% of school aid revenue. There are some lawmakers who want to reduce the income tax or eliminate it altogether. Where do you stand on this issue? If you roll it back or eliminate it, where does the state make up for the dollars lost?
I do not support eliminating or rolling back the income tax. I think it's an important source of revenue, and so I don't think that's the place to roll back or eliminate.
In 2013, the state legislature approved Medicaid expansion through the Healthy Michigan Plan, providing health care coverage to 680,000 Michiganders who had been going without. In June, Governor Rick Snyder signed a bill requiring Medicaid recipients who receive health insurance through the Healthy Michigan Plan be required to work at least 80 hours per month. Is this the right path forward? Is this the chipping away of the Affordable Care Act? Where do you stand on government involvement and health care?
I think it's the role of the government to ensure that affordable health care is accessible. I'm not a fan of the requirement to work for Medicaid or Medicare because I think it adds a layer of bureaucracy, which can really undermine accessibility. So we expanded access to Medicaid and Medicare because we knew there was a population of people that were falling through the gaps. By adding this work requirement, we're adding a level of bureaucracy for the people that are actually helping make healthcare accessible that is not helpful. They are already overworked. People that work for DHHS and those kinds of organizations, they don't need this added bureaucracy. So I don't think it's not a logical choice.
U.S. News ranked Michigan's education system 36th in the nation. What education policies must be implemented and what funding levels are necessary to improve the state's educational outcomes?
I believe that the funding is an issue in Michigan schools. It's a very complex formula for why it's a problem, but at the heart of it is this issue of funding for equity. And what I will say about that is that when we think about how we're funding our school districts, we cannot continue to apply a one-size-fits-all. We have to think about what the needs of that district are and that population of students are, and we have to fund accordingly as a state. It's our responsibility to ensure that every young person in our public schools in the state of Michigan has access to a quality education, and the way that we do that is by funding for equity.
What is the state's role when it comes to addressing groundwater contamination?
The state's role when it comes to addressing groundwater contamination is to ensure that all of our industry and all of the different manufacturing, essentially the infrastructure needs to be there to prevent groundwater contamination. And the state should be regulating that.
If elected to the state Senate and you are in the minority, how will you work with the GOP majority?
This is a great question about how candidates should and can work across the aisle. It's a great question for me because I haven't spent my life in elected office. I've spent my life doing very much community-based work where people are not heavily concerned with whether or not you're a Democrat or Republican. They want to know if you can get the work done, if you can serve, if you can help. And so I haven't spent my life, you know, sort of waving the blue flag, even though I'm a strong Democrat. So I feel really confident about my ability to work across the aisle because essentially my whole life has been characterized by I want to be able to get the work done. I want to be able to be effective. And so I don't feel concerned about working across the aisle. But I'm also really looking forward to less of a super minority. I think the imbalance in our Senate is highly problematic for our citizens in the state of Michigan.
Democrat Poppy Cias Hernandez, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Libertarian Max Rixey is joining us now. Fixing the roads has been a campaign issue. What is the best approach and how do you finance road and bridge repairs?
First of all, I think there's enough money to fix roads and fix bridges. But here's the thing that nobody mentions, and it's kind of buried in a lot of minutia information that we get warranties when they build roads. The problem is when the roads go bad for overuse, the trucks are too heavy, whatever, you know, the warranties aren't enforced. And, to the construction companies making the roads and say, okay, the road didn't last as long as it's supposed to, you know, fix it. Or, in the first place, build the roads that do last and that can last. And we can do that. Another thing is about bridges. A friend of mine, Ernie Liebskegan, most people don't know about him, but he had a process with a partner that would coat bridges, and it'd last for 100 years. He couldn't get MDOT to buy off on it because, hey, you know, you build bridges that last for 100 years, all of a sudden they, all the vested construction companies are out of work. You know, so we have to hold them to their warranties.
Another campaign pitch, and perhaps more so made by Republicans than Democrats, is the elimination of no-fault auto insurance. What makes this a good idea or a bad idea?
First of all, I went to school in Florida after I got out of the Army. I was in Vietnam, so I wanted someplace warm. Then you had to deal with the rain and hurricanes, so I came back. But they have no-fault insurance, or at that time they did, in Florida. Came back to Michigan, our auto insurance rates were 2 or 3 times higher. You know, one of the reasons that we have high auto rate insurance is because unlimited medical, well, you're covered under Medicare and Medicaid in any case, in many cases. And number two, you know, a trial lawyer. The lawyers are sucking up a lot of dollars, you know, that we need to put a cap on what these grave-digging attorneys can earn. And that's another problem. And here's another issue. When a senior citizen turns, I think 65, goes on Medicare, they raise their insurance rates automatically. So, you know, the Republicans have had 8 years to do something, and the Democrats could have helped push things through, but they didn't. Both parties are in the pockets of the insurance companies as to their benefits to keep rates high.
In 2011, the Michigan legislature passed a law taxing pensions. What are the reasons for either repealing it or keeping it in place?
Well, first of all, there is no reason, as far as I'm concerned, for keeping it in place. And that's one of the reasons that Schuette, you know, looks like he's going to lose, because the Republican tax on senior citizen pensions costs seniors thousands and thousands of dollars. It wasn't necessary. Michigan was one of the 4 or 5 states that were senior-friendly when it came to taxation in this regard, and the Republicans blew it. You know, Schuette said, well, now I promise that, you know, we're going to look into that. Well, look into it. Hell, it's costing senior citizens money. And what do they do with the money? I haven't seen a lot of results for the money they stole from senior citizens. The Democrats, well, they might pass something through, but they're going to raise the taxes anyway. If I was in office, I would never vote for any tax increase, period, the end. And the Republican tax on senior citizen pensions is an abomination, and it needs to be repealed.
Sticking with taxes, the state income tax amounted to $9.4 billion in fiscal year 2016 and accounted for about 67% of general fund revenue and 22% of school aid revenue. There are lawmakers who want to reduce the income tax or eliminate it altogether. Where do you stand on this issue? If you roll it back or eliminate it, where does the state make up for the dollars lost?
First of all, I'm for eliminating the Michigan income tax altogether. All right? Many states don't have an income tax. How do they get by? They don't have an income tax. Somehow they manage. In Alaska, there's many areas of Alaska, they not only don't have an income tax, they don't have a property tax. Less regulation, lower government.
In 2013, the state legislature approved Medicaid expansion through the Healthy Michigan Plan, providing health care coverage to 680,000 Michiganders who had been going without. In June, Governor Rick Snyder signed a bill requiring Medicaid recipients who receive health insurance through the Healthy Michigan Plan be required to work at least 80 hours per month. Is this the right path forward? Is this the chipping away of the Affordable Care Act? Where do you stand on government involvement and health care?
Well, first of all, the Affordable Care Act is a socialist, communist abomination, and I am totally, completely against that, with two exceptions: pre-existing conditions and keeping one's children on your insurance policy till age 26. If the Republicans get that right, you know, they can can trash the rest of it. As far as Medicare expansion, again, you know, you're getting government involved in our health care, and government always mucks things up. Period. It's simple. Obama said that we could keep our doctor, he lied. He says if you had a good insurance plan, you said you could keep it, he lied. So if a government's involved, it's a bad thing, and libertarians don't want government involved.
U.S. News ranked Michigan's education system 36th in the nation. What education policies must be implemented, and what funding levels are necessary to improve the state's educational outcomes?
First of all, true Michigan education system is, you know, could be a lot higher. We could be paying Michigan teachers a lot more. Class sizes could be reduced greatly. I'm for banning all illegal aliens from attending Michigan public schools, and I'm for making illegal aliens pay to attend Michigan public schools. Then that would help reduce class size and overall education in general, with the public schools suffering the result. You know, elect libertarians. you know, I'm pro public education, retired a Michigan public school teacher, 23 years. You know, I think we need a middle road.
What is the state's role when it comes to addressing groundwater contamination?
That's one of the few things I think the state needs to take an aggressive view on and action on. Trash line 5. I mean, give 90 days, period, at the end. You know, shut it down. Because that's an accident waiting to happen. I don't trust the people running line 5. And these are corporate people that don't really give a rip about, any oil spillage in our Great Lakes, especially in the Mackinac Straits area. You know, and they won't be held accountable in any case. So shut line 5. Yeah, that would be one of the first things I do if I'm elected. Nestle, pumping all this groundwater out of for bottled water and ship it around the world. I think they should be shut down, too. You know, that's one of the prized assets of Michigan, good, clean water. And now they got all these chemicals that need to be cleaned up. The state needs to take a proactive clean up our groundwater, too, all these chemicals.
If elected to the Michigan Senate, how will you work with the majority, whether that be Republicans or Democrats?
As a Libertarian, I work with both, Democrats and Republicans. They're people. And I think the majority of them want the best for the people that they serve. And you have to understand that if you have a Democratic state senator, he's got Republicans in his district and vice versa. You know, they're all people of Michigan. They all want clean water, lower taxes. Well, there's some extreme Democrats that don't and Republicans that want, you know, just raise your taxes. But generally, they represent people that don't like paying taxes and want to keep government small. Not everybody's on the welfare state. You know, remember, the Libertarians don't want to be your mother, your father, your nanny. We don't like the nanny state. And I think I can work with the majority of Democrats and Republicans. If there's pro-Second Amendment, hey, that's golden.
Libertarian Max Rixey, thank you so much.
Very good. Thank you.